how important the blood is. If you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ on your life this morning, then you are in as much danger as a person who was in Egypt that night that the plague passed over and there was no blood on their doorpost. My friend, it is essential that you apply the blood of the Lamb to the doorpost of your heart. Now, as we think about the blood, let's pause and let's look at Exodus chapter 12 and beginning in verse 21. It says, "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts of the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, as ye shall keep, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service." Verse 26. "And it shall come to pass when your children say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians, and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they." And so we see here Moses gives the instructions as to what they are supposed to do in order to be safe that night when God passes over Egypt in judgment. I want you to direct your attention to verse 21. It says, "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover." I want you to understand, first of all, this morning, the blood was shed. The blood was shed. The Passover had to be killed. Now, no doubt, a lamb running around is a lovely thing. A lamb may make a nice pet. But on the night of the Passover, it wasn't a living lamb that would provide protection for them. The lamb had to be killed. The blood was shed. And it was only through the death of that lamb that the blood could be put on the doorpost and that the people inside that house could be saved. And in the same way, we are not saved by Christ's example or by Christ's life. We are saved by His death. Now, you may be here this morning, and you might have the popular notion that many people seem to have in the world today that, you know, Jesus was a good man, He was a good prophet, and if I pattern my life after Him, I'm sure I'll be all right. I want you to understand, it's not His example that saves. It's not the things He said that saves. It's His death, that He died to save us. The blood, indeed, was shed. Hebrews 9:22 says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission." Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that make an atonement for the soul." The blood was shed. Jesus had to die in order for salvation and safety to be provided for you and me. I want you to be careful, because there are many teachers that would say that they adhere to the Word of God. They would say that they teach the Bible. And really, those people despise the blood. They don't want to talk about the blood of Christ. They believe that that's something that is ancient or something that is not civilized to talk about. But I want you to understand, it is the blood of Christ that saves us. And you need to understand this morning that from Genesis to Revelation, the blood has preeminence. And without the blood of Christ, we cannot be saved. You cannot accept Jesus just as a good person or like His teachings or whatever. You have to understand that He was very God and that He came and died. He shed His blood for your sin. There's a story told about a large religious service that was being conducted at the Golden Gate Exposition in San Francisco. There was a minister who was giving the main address. And it wasn't long after he began to speak that people began to realize that he wasn't completely orthodox in what he was teaching. Now, he was a very gifted speaker, but even with all his eloquence, as he preached and as he talked about what he was saying, he directed all of his things against the power of the blood of Christ. There was an elderly lady who was in the crowd. And as the preacher continued eloquently to preach against the blood of Christ, she stood up in the midst of that crowd and softly she began to sing this great hymn. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Before she could begin the second stanza, approximately 100 people had rose to join her. And by the time she reached the third verse, nearly 1,000 Christians all over the audience were singing that song of faith. Triumphantly, they sang out, "Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more." The author says many were deeply moved as that humble believer stood up for her Lord. I want you to understand this morning that there are many people who would despise the blood of Christ. There are people who would tell you, you know, when you present the gospel, when you talk about Jesus, don't talk about uncivilized things like that, about the blood. And that's just grotesque. I want you to understand the blood was essential for the salvation of man. And if you don't this morning, if you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ on the doorpost of your heart, then you are in danger of the judgment of God. The blood was shed. That lamb had to be killed in order for the family inside the home to be saved. It couldn't just be tied up at the door. It couldn't just be brought into a room in the house. It had to be slaughtered and killed. The blood was shed. Not only was the blood shed, but I want you to understand the blood was spread. Look at verse 22. Moses continues and says, "And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning." You know, just as the lamb had to be killed, it wasn't enough just to kill the lamb and allow the blood to run out on the floor. That blood had to be applied to the doorpost of the home. And friend, this morning, that's a picture of faith. Now, I used this as an illustration a couple weeks ago in youth group. I can take this chair and I can put it here, and I can tell you, you know, that's a nice chair. It's very sturdy. And what I know of engineering and such, I believe that the construction, the triangular construction, and the tubing that they've used, I believe that it would hold my weight. Yeah, I believe that. That's a great chair. Now, I could stand here and I could talk about this chair all I want. But do I really believe in it if I don't sit in the chair? No, the only way to really show that I really believe that the chair will hold me is to rest upon the chair. And I want you to understand this morning, in the same way, that blood had to be spread on the doorpost in faith, believing that that would protect them from the judgment of God. And my friend, you in the same way, you have to apply what Jesus did on the cross to your life. It's not enough just to believe that He came and died. You have to rest in Him alone as your only way of salvation. Moses said that that blood had to be placed on the doorpost of the home. It's a picture of faith that had to indeed be applied. Killing the lamb, and even talking to your neighbors or telling people that you believe that the blood would protect you, was not what God instructed them to do that night. That would not be enough. The blood had to be applied to the doorpost. And by the way, what a beautiful picture that is of the cross. You know, something interesting I learned while I was studying. You see here in verse 22, it says, "And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin." That basin has the idea, it's the same word that's used for threshold. So the bottom of the door would often have a hollowed out spot. And many people who have studied the culture believe that the lamb was killed right there at the door, and the blood would be allowed to run down into the threshold in that little cavity there at the bottom of the door. And then they would take the hyssop and dip it in there, and they would put the blood on the top, on the lintel, and then on the two sides of the door. And you know, if you look at that, what a beautiful picture that makes of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got the blood at the top, the blood on the side, and the blood pooled there at the foot of the door. And praise God, isn't it Jesus Himself that said, "I am the door"? My friend, this morning, I hope that you have applied that blood to the doorpost of your heart. The blood of Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, has to be applied to the doorpost of your heart in order for you to be saved. This morning, are you resting in Him alone to save you? I'm not asking you, do you know how to talk about it? And you may know how to say all the right things at church, and you may know how to answer all the questions, but are you in faith trusting Him and Him alone as your only way of salvation? That blood has to be applied. I've used this illustration before, but it illustrates so beautifully what Jesus Christ has done for us through the cross. The author says, "When I was 5 years old, before factory installed seat belts and automobile airbags, my family was driving home at night on a two-lane country road." He says, "I was sitting on my mother's lap when another car, driven by a drunk driver, swerved into our lane and hit us head on." He said, "I don't have any memory of the collision." Remember, he was 5 years old when this incident took place. He says, "I do recall the fear and confusion I felt as I saw myself literally covered with blood from head to toe." He said, "But then I learned that the blood wasn't mine at all, but my mother's. In that split second when the two headlights glared into her eyes, she instinctively pulled me close to her chest and curled her body around mine. It was her body that slammed against the dashboard, her head that shattered the windshield. She took the impact of the collision so that I wouldn't have to." He says, "It took extensive surgery for my mother to recover from her injuries." And then he comments, "In a similar but infinitely more significant way, Jesus Christ took the impact for our sin, and His blood now permanently covers our lives." Has the blood of Jesus Christ been spread across you? Have you allowed Him to take the impact for your sin? My friend, if you've never done that this morning, oh, I beg of you, I plead with you this morning, please, before it's eternally too late, you allow the blood of the Lamb to be spread across the doorpost of your heart. But then this morning, not only was the blood shed and the blood was spread, but the blood was seen. Look at verse 23. "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when He seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you." The same thing is echoed in verse 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Verse 13, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." As I was doing my study for this message, I came across a sermon that D.L. Moody had preached. Now I want you to hear what he says about God seeing the blood. He says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you," commenting on Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. He does not say, says Moody, "When I see the live lamb tied up to the doorpost, I will pass over you." No more does he say, "When I see the living Christ in all His moral glory and loveliness, scattering blessings all around His path, I will pass over you. But when I see the blood. For without shedding of blood is no remission." Moody says, "Sinner, Christ has shed His blood for you. You will have peace looking to His blood. You will be safe there, or you will be exposed to the wrath of God without it." He says, when you go to the station, think about this. When you go to the station and you take a ticket for London and seat yourself in the train, the guard will come to look at your ticket. And it matters not to him whether you are black, white, rich, poor, as long as you've got a ticket. He looks at that, not you. He says the blood is God's ticket. God says, "Have you got your ticket or token?" He says, "If you are behind the blood, you are as safe as on the golden pavement of heaven. A little sparrow was as safe in the ark as the great elephant. If you are behind the blood, you are safe, though you die tonight." Now, some great thoughts, some great words there from D.L. Moody. Just like a conductor would come and check the tickets of people who would board a train, in the same way that conductor will look at the ticket. That is what God will do on that judgment day that we read of in Revelation. He will look at your life. And my friend, the ticket on that day is the blood of Jesus Christ. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And it was only when God saw the blood on that night of the Passover in Egypt, it was only when He saw the blood that He would pass over that house and that home would be safe from judgment. And I want you to think about this as you think about God seeing the blood. You know, when you're saved, when you've accepted Christ, when you have the blood on the doorpost of your heart, it will show. First and foremost, it will show to God. You know, He's the one that sees like no other. There's no fooling God. This morning you can fool me. It'd be very easy to fool me about your eternal condition. You could learn to say the right things. But my friend, it's not me that's going to look at the doorpost of your heart on that day. It's God. And the question is, the one who sees more than any other, does He see the blood on the doorpost of your heart? You may fool lots of people, but you cannot fool God. And then secondly, the blood was seen. You know, when you're saved, when you have the blood on the doorpost of your heart, not only will it show to God, but it will show to everyone else around you. You know, on that night of the Passover, neighbors looking through their windows across the street would be able to see the blood on the doorpost of the house next door. If an Egyptian was passing by in the street, they would see the blood on the doorpost. And my friend, if you really have the blood of Jesus Christ on the doorpost of your heart, it will show too. Your neighbors will see it. Your friends will see it. Your family will see it. They will see the blood of Jesus Christ on your life. My question to you this morning is, do they see it? Is the blood indeed seen in your life? One last thought this morning. The rabbis have a legend. Now, this is a legend. I want you to understand this isn't in the Word of God. But they have in Jewish tradition a legend that says on the Passover night, when the Israelites were awaiting a signal for their departure, there was in one of the Jewish homes a sick girl who asked her father repeatedly if the blood had been sprinkled on the lintel of the door. Not satisfied with his repeated assurance that the servant had properly attended to it, she begged her father for her sake, to please go look at the door and to see for himself that the blood was applied. And as the legend goes, he went outside the door and he looked, and there was no blood on the doorpost. And so the father made haste to bring the basin with the hyssop branch. And he had just sprinkled the lintel when a shadow fell over him. And he looked upward, and lo, the destroying angel was passing by. Now just a legend, just a story from Jewish tradition, but a powerful picture this morning of the importance of making sure that the blood is on the doorpost. You know, I encourage each of you this morning to walk around to the doorpost of your heart. Everybody in here. And this morning, look and check and make sure that the blood of Jesus Christ is on the doorpost of your heart. Make sure indeed that the blood has been shed in your life, that the blood has been spread, and that it can be seen by a righteous, holy God in your life. Because, my friend, listen, that is the only way of salvation. Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Our only hope of salvation is through the blood of Jesus Christ. This morning, do you have the blood on the doorpost of your heart?